Welcome, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast along with Aaron Fitt. I am John Manuel. We welcome you to the DeMarini Demo House podcast nook here at Baseball America World Headquarters in Durham, North Carolina. And when it comes to buying a baseball bat, DeMarini just changed the game. Introducing Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy, because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free, so get the season started right. Visit your nearest demo house today. Locations and full details can be found at DeMarini.com/demo house. And Aaron, it's our first college podcast of 2010 or 2010. I really don't have a problem either way.
Me neither. There's been a debate about that. But
I will not join a Facebook group either way on that one. They can stick it. I'm not joining. I have no preference on how you pronounce the season or the year. But I am excited about college baseball being here, and I think I'm actually more excited about another year of college podcasts.
Absolutely. Let's bring it on.
Let's bring it. Our college top 25 revealed Wednesday, January 27th. Where were you when our top 25 was revealed? You can email us at podcast@baseballamerica.com. And Aaron, let's dive right in. We had quite a debate at the top. We really went back and forth a lot. And I would say that our decision between one and two was difficult. There wasn't really a third team, though, for us. It really was between Virginia and Texas, and we went a little bit back and forth, and I don't think it was because we were in Dallas, Texas, that we decided Texas, but we settled on the Texas Longhorns at number one. And that's who we thought it would be coming out of Omaha last year, and I think we're still there now. Why Texas number one and not Virginia?
Well, there's two reasons, I think. First of all, it's just the pitching. I mean, their pitching is so very good.
Yeah.
Their top five is just completely unmatched by anybody, and they've got plenty of depth beyond that.
I think they scored a 75 out of 80 on the fit matrix.
Yeah,
is that correct?
You probably could have given them an 80. I just don't know if I'm comfortable giving out 80s. But
I'm with you.
But, I mean, it's an incredibly good pitching staff. And I think the lineup will be improved over last year. You've still got some key pieces in there, like your Cameron Rupps and your Brandon Loyes and Connor Rao. And, you know, the key is how are these new players kind of fit into the mix. They're replacing some key parts like Brandon Belt and Travis Tucker and, you know, Michael Torres. Those guys are gone. But from what we've been able to gather, the guys that they're sliding in are good athletes. They can swing the bats. I think they're going to be okay. So the other reason, though, John, is just because they're Texas.
That's right.
When it comes down to it, you know, they've got more of a track record than Virginia. I'm incredibly excited about Virginia's talent. I really like their coaching staff. I think that they're a great program, and they made it to Omaha last year. But it's a little bit different to wear the bullseye of preseason number one. You know, not all teams handle that very well. So, I don't know. I just think Texas just seems like a little bit of a safer bet. You just have a feeling they're going to be in Omaha. I can't see them getting tripped up and you know, I think that they're good enough to win it all.
I think you've also made the point to me, and I think it's a good point, that this Texas team resembles in a lot of ways the 05 team, which had lost in 04 in the finals to Fullerton, came back the next year, won the national championship. Coincidentally, I believe, that 04 team also lost its closer, Houston Street. The next year, J.B. Cox stepped in and closed and was tremendous in Omaha as the Longhorns won that national championship. This team loses Austin Wood. Really, in my mind, the biggest loss from last year's team is probably Austin Wood. I think a huge key. I don't think I would have picked Texas over Virginia if not for the fact that Russell Moldenhauer has really had a disappointing college career. I mean, this was an unsigned third-round pick at a high school. He doesn't really even play a position.
Right.
So he's not, I mean, he wasn't even drafted last year as a junior. But the fact that he hit those four home runs in the College World Series last year, it's still in there. He's got power. So they don't have great power. But if Russell Moldenhauer has the kind of year that I think he can have, a 10 to 12 home run season, just be a consistent presence in the middle of the lineup, you put that lefty bat in there with Kevin Keyes and Cameron Rupp.
That's pretty good.
You got a right, left, right in the middle. I'm a big Cameron Rupp fan.
Yep.
I think they do have a middle of the lineup, and you know that Augie Garrido can manufacture the runs when he needs to. They can skill it up when they need to. So I think Texas has multiple ways to score. I do think Moldenhauer is a big key for them.
And he had a good fall, too. It's worth noting. He kept on hitting some home runs in their fall scrimmages that they played against some other programs.
I think he's important. I think they got to have a lefty bat with some thump in there. And you go. I actually just stumbled upon some of my 2002 College Series coverage when I was looking up stuff for our Best of the Decade. And, you know, that team in Texas, I remember I did a chat in the middle of that college series where I was surprised by Texas's power. And they hit a home run every game, I believe, in the 2002 yeah. series on their way to winning the championship. So Auggie's teams have had a history of a lot of the guys lose in Omaha before they win. They lost in 2000, but they got there in 2000. That really laid the groundwork for 2002. They lost in 04, laid the groundwork for 05. I think losing in 09 will help them in 2010.
Me too.
But I'll tell you what, Virginia, top to bottom, I didn't have a problem ranking Virginia ahead of LSU or ahead of Rice or Fullerton, three programs with much more pedigree, much more recent history. But the job that Brian O'Connor, our assistant coach of the year, Kevin McMullen, their pitching coach, Carl Kuhn, those guys, the job that staff has done and that program has done, taking Virginia from a program where in 2001 they tried to de-emphasize the baseball program to basically a Division III level. And now they're the number two preseason team in the country, and they're coming off an Omaha trip, and they're the only team that beat Steven Strasburg last year. The unbelievable progress that program has made. If they win it all in 2010, I don't think anybody should be shocked.
They're really good. They're deep. They're balanced.
There's not a hole.
There's not a hole in the starting nine. But I'll tell you what else. They've got insane depth off the bench with that recruiting class that they just brought in. They can afford injuries even. I mean, it's insane. They still have Keith Werman, the Colorado Series hero. He's not even projected to start for them because where do you put him?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's nowhere to put him.
It's just the lineup is exciting. It's athletic.
They're strong
up the
middle.
It's got speed. They're strong up the middle defensively. They've got power. They're going to be like Texas. They're going to hit more home runs on the road and Rosenblatt, potentially, than they will at home. But don't be fooled by the low power numbers. I mean, Steven Procia and Jared Parker, these guys have some pop, and they've got a bunch of other guys here who are going to go deep now and then, too. So
they've got a proven closer, a veteran guy. They've got veterans in the bullpen. They've got pitching depth. They've got my favorite guy in college baseball, Robert Morey, moving into the weekend rotation, the guy who beat Steven Strasburg. I mean, Virginia is just set up, and I mean, one of the bottom lines for me in not choosing them number one was it's the ACC. I mean, I'm sorry if you think I'm silly for that. The league hasn't won it in a league team has not won the national championship since 1955. Texas has six titles. Auggie himself has five. This is how the ring looks. There's no other way to put it. That experience and that tradition counts for me.
Yeah.
And if Virginia played Texas in the championship series, that matters to me. The fact that that Auggie has won it and no one on the other side has, and I think that matters when there's not that much difference between the teams. I think Texas is pitching. I also will take Texas starting staff and pitching staff overall. I think has a good leg up on Virginia's. Virginia's is very good, competitive with anyone else in the country. Texas is kind of on a plane all its own.
No question.
But it
was
a pretty spirited debate, I would say.
We went back and forth a lot on this.
Yeah. And Virginia, if Virginia were number one, or if there are a billion polls out there, and if somebody ranks Virginia number one, that's not going out on a limb. Virginia is, in most years, would be a very deserving number one team. But there's not a team, you don't usually have a team like Texas that takes a Cole Green, who won, 10 games last year?
Yeah.
And takes him out of the rotation and sticks him in closer
because
they have four other guys that can start.
Or they could do that with Chance Ruffin. It sounds like they haven't quite decided yet.
Right.
It might actually be Ruffin be the guy at the back of the bullpen. And he's closed a little bit in the past, so
right,
that would make some sense.
It would make some sense. So, I mean, Texas just has that luxury where they can take one of their best pitchers and put him in the bullpen
because
they have four other guys. And I also think Taylor Youngman, he might be the best pitcher in the country. Might be.
You saw him in Omaha. He shut down a really good LSU team in that second game out there.
He was outstanding. I don't think he has. I don't think he has Garrett Cole's stuff. I don't think Garrett Cole has Taylor Youngman's mound presence or savvy.
And I'll tell you what, the reports I hear say Taylor Youngman ran it up to 96-97 this fall. So
that's very believable off what he did in Omaha last year because that guy was dirty. So Texas 1, Virginia 2. A lot of familiar names in the top 10, Aaron. LSU, the defending national champions, 3. Cal State Fullerton, 4. Rice, 5. And the thing that stands out to me about these teams is that LSU has the top pitching prospect in the country in Anthony Renato for this year's draft, plus the top closer in Matty Ott, which is a pretty great combination. And then Fullerton returns just about everybody. A lot of very important pieces off last year's team that went into Omaha as one of the favorites. They were certainly the favorite in their own mind. And then Rice, which might have the best lineup in the country.
Yeah, you know, the thing that separates LSU and Fullerton for me, they've got better pitching than Rice. I mean, Rice has really to answer some questions, you know, on the mound, because they don't have Ryan Berry anymore. Mike Ogilvie is going to be out for at least half the year.
It's really amazing to talk about Rice and a deficit of pitching.
I know,
it
is, but they're still number five because their lineup is just so good. I mean, this is the one lineup that I think might be better than Virginia's out there.
And if you have to pick one hitter that you want up in the country in any situation,
Anthony Rendon,
yeah, I think.
Absolutely.
And they've got him, yeah.
I love the versatility of this lineup, the speed, the athleticism, the defense. That's what makes Rice stand apart. And we know Wayne Graham and David Pierce are going to find answers on the mound. That's what they do. They're Rice. Taylor Wall, you know, as a Friday guy, he's got some potential there. He's not going to overpower you, but he can pitch. You know, he's proven himself as a competitor.
And if he doesn't throw strikes, he'll get off the mound. I mean, that's what Wayne will have. We'll get someone out there who will throw strikes.
Right.
So, and I do think Mike Ogil is a huge key for them. If Rice can position itself to host a regional or maybe a super regional without Mike Ogilvie, then he could maybe come in the second half of the season and get up to speed and really be a key piece for them in a postseason push. Because Rice is actually, you know, since that 2003 championship, what they went to Omaha three straight years and were the favorite a couple times and stopped by the Beavers a couple times before even getting to the College Series finals. So Rice has been, I don't know about if I'd say snake bitten, but they haven't exactly been at their best their last few trips to Omaha.
Right.
So I think that Wayne Graham, you know, he's 74 years old. I think he'd like to be at his best in Omaha sooner than later. So we'll have a story on that in our college preview issue about the seemingly ageless Wayne Graham.
Right.
I'm looking forward to that story as well. And then, you know, Aaron, for me, Georgia Tech at 6 was right in that discussion with these other clubs. But
yeah,
they're just a little bit different mojo with Georgia Tech than there is for Fullerton, Rice, or LSU. Georgia Tech frequently has been better on paper than it has been in reality. Is that a fair label to slap on that program?
I think it is fair, and it's probably the reason they didn't rank higher, because they, I think, top to bottom, they're a more balanced team on paper than Rice is.
I think that's talent-wise, very fair.
I mean, especially on the mound, they should blow Rice away on the mound, but I mean, they've got obviously a proven number one guy, very intriguing. You know, other arms that in this staff with Brandon Compton and Mark Pope and Kevin Jacob, guys that I really like, Jed Bradley. The problem is, you know, those guys don't really have great track records of success. They've got great arms. Let's see them do it.
Yeah, Kevin Jacob up to 98 up in the Alaska League. Mark Pope, I've heard of 96, 97 in shorter bursts. He'll be moving in the rotation. You've seen Brandon Compton throw very well.
Yeah.
We both are big Dyke McGuire fans. I mean, that's a fearsome foursome, to use the football term. And then up the middle, they have some experience. This team has as much thump as anybody. You're talking about a shortstop with power and Derek Dietrich. I mean, Matt Skoll, I mean, like, that's his tool.
Yeah, he's a big old masher. Yeah.
He's a beast. He's incredibly physical, a lot of power. Even their guys who are more athletic guys, the Dancers and the Rollins, those guys hit for some power. Tony Plagman, he's a masher at first base. So they've got as much power as any team in the country, really.
I think so.
I wonder if they're a team that my questions about Georgia Tech are, will they play to their potential, A, and can they hit quality pitching? I think they're going to put up a lot of 15-run games on Sundays in conference play. At the end of a weekend when a team's out of pitching, I think Georgia Tech's going to punish those kind of teams.
I think you're right.
But will Georgia Tech, what will they do on Friday nights when they face another team's best pitcher? Can they put together quality at bats? You know, Plagman's pretty aggressive. Skoll's prone to strikeouts. They have some guys who are some strikeout guys. I wonder about Georgia Tech against quality pitching. That's the only real concern I have about that team. I think this is the ACC's track record in Omaha is terrible. They have three teams in our top 10 this year,
and
Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Virginia. Do you think we could have, in recent years, the ACC's had 2-3 teams to Omaha every year? Do you think that's another year where they might do that?
I think so. I think between Virginia, Georgia Tech, Florida State, and you know, I also really like Clemson's team, and I think Miami's got a chance to make a run.
So you have 5 ACC teams in the top 16, and one of those teams is not North Carolina, which has been the best program in the league in the second half of the last decade and four straight trips to Omaha. So
I think Florida State is a team that you have to make sure you don't look past either. I mean, they got their entire weekend rotation back, and those guys aren't, you know, again, they're not overpowering. They're Florida State typical pitchers. They're going to compete and pound the strike zone and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's another guy who really knows how to manage his pitching staff is Mike Martin. He's going to get the most out of his guys, just like Wayne Graham is. And you know they're going to hit. They've got three All-Americans back in the lineup from last year and a solid supporting cast. Florida State's a team that I think is very dangerous.
I'll tell you, a Rice-Florida State Cobble Series championship series, that would be a lot of fun
that
just
would
to
be
watch.
A lot of fun.
Those like two combined coaches, age like those coaches, is that would be fun to watch. I would enjoy Mike Martin and Wayne Graham shutting down Rosenblatt.
Who can walk slower to the mound.
That's where I was headed. So it's the Baseball America podcast along with Aaron Fitt. I'm John Manuel. We're talking about our college top 25. We got another septuagenarian, soon to be septuagenarian, coaching UC Irvine in Mike Gillespie. And certainly the Anteaters will be very good again this year. There's probably no team that benefited more from their juniors turning down pro ball and coming back as seniors than Irvine, with Daniel Babona, their number one starter, Christian Bergman, their number two, and their closer, Eric Pettis. I mean, that, you know, did anybody else get more back from the draft? And I guess Francis Larson also was a junior,
right,
coming back as a senior. Their catcher, who's their leading power plant, basically, on a team that usually likes to skill it up offensively. But they were a bunting team last year, but they weren't like a big running team. They just are a line drive,
right, that's it,
build big rallies offense. And you got to have some guys with big-time gap power. And getting Larson back was huge. I know they lost their second leading home run hitter, Brock Bardeen, who had 7 hits last year, 6 of them being home runs, which I just was a fun stat I looked up last night. But I think Irvine's a legitimate threat to get back to Omaha as well.
And getting Brian Hernandez is huge for them. You know, a guy who had to sit out last year. He was expected to be their number 3 hole hitter last year. He's the best hitter on this team. So, I mean, getting him at third base is huge. The major question with Irvine is who's going to play shortstop. You got big shoes to fill there with Ben Orloff, the clear leader of that team. An elite defensive player and really the spark plug for that offense. You know, I think DJ Krumlick's got a chance to play shortstop. The guy that I really like, Tommy Reyes, is also in the discussion there. Those two guys are competing for that job right now. But, I mean, this team is deep. They're experienced. They're going to be there. This is Irvine. I mean, at this point, you know, we pretty much know what we're going to get from these guys. And it's
10 years ago, there wasn't even a program
there.
It's
amazing, isn't it?
And they're on their third coach, and they still, from John Savage to Dave Serrano, Mike Gillespie, they've had 3 great coaches there.
Yeah.
And it's impressive. It's been a very impressive I know they have advantages of where they are and the strength of the University of California system, the kind of kids it allows them to recruit and all that kind of stuff. But they've taken advantage of their strengths, unlike, say, UCLA, which has more of all the same strengths, plus the tradition and all that kind of stuff. But sounds like Irvine has a better ballpark.
Yep.
And
they
have a better baseball program. It's amazing, in a way, that John Savage left Irvine, went to UCLA, and is really at the lesser program at UCLA. There's no other way to put it. It's the Baseball America podcast. And Aaron, while we're talking on the West Coast, how about we go on a West Coast riff here?
Sure.
We mentioned Irvine. We have Fullerton as our top West Coast team, and I think that's natural. The Titans are very good. They probably have the best player on the West Coast in Christian Colon. They're probably the best pitching staff on the West, although Irvine would definitely contend with them for that. I think Fullerton's depth on the mound is a huge asset for the Titans. But we're talking about the two top big West teams. Who are the other top teams in the West? Because really the Pac-10 had a rough year last year in a lot of ways. Arizona State has been the best program in that conference consistently. Of course, Oregon State's the one that won 2 championships in 06 and 07, but they haven't been as consistent as the Sun Devils. The Sun Devils have won the most Pac-10 titles in the last decade. But now you have the turbulence there with Pat Murphy being shown the door.
Yeah.
What do you see out of the Pac-10 this year? We have 3 Pac-10 teams in the top 25. What's your take on the Pac-10 this in 2010?
I can't imagine it'll be as bad as it was last year, because it was just not a good league last year. It was very disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, that said, I don't know if it's going to be a whole lot better.
The talent is so concentrated on the underclassmen.
Yeah.
It's the junior and senior classes in the Pac-10 are pretty underwhelming. That's the way that's the reason I see that the league is going to be down again this year. I just don't see a lot of juniors and seniors who are worth a darn, to be honest with you.
And, you know, I mean, a lot of that will depend on what happens with Oregon State.
Yeah.
They've got some big-name juniors there who have not lived up to expectations yet. you know, and that team, on paper, their coaching staff thinks could be their best team ever.
Well, I just can't.
You know, it's a huge if, but I mean, that's the kind of potential that they think they have. We'll see. I'm not buying a lot of those guys on the mound.
We'll see. Tell Greg Peavy and Tanner Robles do it in college.
Yeah. To me, this feels a lot like Baylor last year. You know, I mean, it was
great,
a highly touted recruiting class that we kept waiting for, and it didn't happen at all for those guys. We'll see. I mean, you know, I'm reserving judgment. We certainly think that they have a chance. We put them in the top 25.
The guys have been better. The guys who were less touted, Tyler Waldron, Sam
Gaviglio. Exactly.
I believe in those guys. Even Craig Sitton.
Yeah.
Less, more so than Kevin Roderick. Or Tanner Robles, or Greg Peavy. Now you have Josh Osich, who we knew had an elbow injury that tempered our enthusiasm for him coming into the year. Now he's had Tommy John surgery. So, you know, this is and this is not a team with a lot of offense.
No, it's not.
And, you know, there's no Mitch Canham on this team. Mitch Canham is not walking through that door, Aaron.
That's right.
And more than that, Darwin Barney is not walking through that door, and Kevin Gunderson is not walking through that door. And that's what made Oregon State Oregon State in on their back-to-back teams. I know Gundy, I guess, wasn't there for 07, but Patterson was, and Daniel Turpin was, and Jonah Nickerson, I believe, was there for the 06 team, not 07.
That's right.
He left his arm in Omaha.
That's right.
But him and John Hudgens both, but one of them got a ring and one of them did not. So I think Jonah Nickerson will make that trade. And then UCLA is another team that we have ranked.
Exactly.
And you want to talk about pitching, UCLA, I think any team – Rob, put it this way – Rob Rasmussen, by our rankings, is the top prospect in the Pac-10 this year. He's UCLA's number three starter. And I love Rob Rasmussen. I loved him out of high school. I like him at UCLA. He had a great summer in the Cape last year. He's got one of the best breaking balls in the nation. He's a number three starter, although I'd probably slate him two.
Sure.
Because I'm not as big a Trevor Bauer guy as some other people are, even though he long tosses, and he's a long toss beast. But I saw him fall off a mound just warming up. I like to see my pitchers stay on the mound.
Sure.
As opposed to...
That's not unreasonable.
Falling, yes.
UCLA, again, I feel like every year, it's on paper. They could be really good. At this point, we're obviously a little bit wary of UCLA. We've been burned by them a couple of times
now. They're the Georgia Tech of the West to an extra degree, you know, to an extra power.
This team should be really good defensively as well as on the mound. The question is, will they hit? I don't know. You know, you're relying a lot on your freshmen, your Cody Kiefers and your, you know, Bo Amaral's and your Jeff Jalalish's.
Is that how you pronounce that name?
That is how you pronounce that name.
That's a good pronunciation because I would have not said Jalalish. It would have been different than that.
But those guys have to hit for them. And, you know, guys like Tyler Ramatula and Nico Gallego, those guys have to hit better. Thank you.
I think you got to like the fact that there are a lot of sons of big leaguers. If you're a casual college baseball fan, a lot of sons of big leaguers in Southern California. A lot of recognizable names between UCLA and USC. USC's got Jordan Hershiser in their bullpen. They got Tom House as their pitching coach. They got Scott Boris's kid running around on the bench.
I believe Chad Kruder's kid is also on that team, Cade Kruder.
That's right. And, of course, Chad Kruder, 16 years in the big leagues, he's in the dugout. When he's not in court defending himself against Chan Ho Park's lawsuit, which is my favorite TMZ story ever because it's the first one that involves college baseball that I've seen.
Right.
Until TMZSports.com comes out. Did you know they're doing that?
No, I did not.
I hope they don't cover college baseball. That might be where who knows, maybe that's where we'll see some familiar faces there, I'm sure. But then UCLA with Amaral, Gallego, there are a couple other big league names over there as well. But the West in general, I think, is a little bit down this year. I think USD will be good. I think the West Coast Conference, actually, Aaron, looks very competitive.
It always is. I mean, that league, it's, you know, they tend to beat up on each other a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, RPI-wise, they're usually not quite in multi-bid range. Sometimes they'll get two.
Right.
But, I mean, USD to me looks very good.
I mean, like, St. Mary's is the seventh best team in that league, probably. And they have the league's best player who won the Triple Crown as a freshman, Troy Channing. They've got a 1-2 punch on the mound that's pretty good. I'm forgetting their number one guy, but, of course, personal cheeseball, Kyle Bearclaw, their number two starter.
Of course.
You got Gonzaga, which won the league last year, has the league's best prospect, at least in the sophomore class, and Ryan Carpenter. It could be a first-round pick in 2011.
I think that's fair,
And they're probably a middle-of-the-pack team in the league this year because of some of the hitters they lost and some of the experience they lost. Even Portland, your usual doormat, has some pitching. As a former big leaguer in Larry Kasian, who does a great job with their pitching staff, and the talent in that program, I think, is getting better. that's just a really undersold, underrated league. I think all the, I think most of that, that's, I hate to sound, I think the Pac-10 is actually almost a little overrated right now, and the rest of the West is kind of undersold. Because even the bottom of the Big West is better. I think the bottom of the Mountain West is better. I think the bottom of the WAC is better.
So, I think that's true. I really do. I believe that, you know, really the Big West deserves probably three or four bids most years at least. I mean, maybe
yeah,
five.
At least. I think
they're
probably,
leagues.
I think most years they deserve four,
yeah.
And they usually get three, and they're lucky to get four.
Right.
But, I mean, Long Beach State hasn't been a regional team for a couple of years, and I think that'll change. Troy Buckley going back there. I think that's and that's two great tastes that go great together.
I can almost
there.
See them as a little bit of a sleeper this year. I wouldn't be surprised to see them back in a region.
I was just headed there. It's we're talking a little about conferences, so let's take this these podcast questions to the DeMarini Demo House podcast inbox, Aaron. First from our good friend Luke Goode, who's such a good friend that his email address has Baseball America in the email address.
Nice.
But Luke says he can't wait for college baseball to get started. Which conference do you think will be the best in the country? Will the Pac-10 rebound from a historically poor season last year? And which mid-major conference do you see having a banner 2010 campaign? So I think we're already saying the Pac-10 probably will not rebound necessarily this year. I think it has but it could possibly be better.
I mean, Arizona State, John, we've got them number 14 mostly because of what they lost. I mean, you've got to replace, you know, Jason Kipnis, Mike Leake, this year Pac-10 Pitcher and Player of the Year, and of course Pat Murphy.
Right.
How will they respond without those three guys? They've still got a lot of talent. They've got Omaha caliber talent.
And let's face it, Tim Esme, I've spoken to him maybe twice over the 13 years I've been here. So it's not that I like him or dislike him. I have nothing personal with him or against him, but his track record is his track record. He had a losing record in a decent amount of time as the coach at Utah.
Yeah.
He leaves and Bill Kinnenberg takes over the program and they develop a second-round pick in Stephen Fife, and they go to regionals last year. So the program's gotten better since Coach Esme left Utah, and that's who's taken over. Your pitching coach is Ken Knudsen. He did a nice job at Washington, but he did lose his job at Washington. So their track records are not as good as Pat Murphy's. I don't expect the program to be as good as it was when Pat Murphy was
there. Coaching matters.
It matters. It absolutely matters.
Say what you want about Pat Murphy. The guy was a proven winner.
No doubt.
He got the most out of his talent most of the time.
Yeah, I agree. So I think the Pac-10
not always in Omaha, but he's got them to Omaha.
That's correct. Let's face it. So Arizona State's a flagship program of that league, and it's down. USC has been to regionals once in the last 8 years. They're down. Stanford has been to Omaha once since they went five times in a row. By their own standards, they're down. Oh, I think they're back on the way up.
I like their young talent a lot.
I do too.
I don't know how quickly they're going to develop, but
they're a sleeper
for
me.
They look really dangerous next year, and I think they could be dangerous this year.
They have better athleticism than anyone else in this league just by dint of having Kenny DeKroger and Jake Stewart.
Yeah, that
those
helps.
Those two guys are the best athletes in the Pac-10.
Yeah.
They got best athletes votes in the Pac-10 best tools surveys, and they haven't set foot on a field.
You're right.
And the guy who won best tools is not even on their team anymore, Toby Gerhart. So,
how about that?
I mean, that's how athletic Stanford is. They can lose a Heisman Trophy runner-up, and they're still the most athletic team in the league. That's saying something. Stanford, I think, is a sleeper in that league. But which conference is the best in the country? I mean, it has to be the SEC, doesn't it? I mean, I know the ACC has six teams in our top 25, but the SEC does too, right?
SEC also does. Just like the ACC, the SEC has three teams in the top 10, so you've got your good teams at the top. You've got depth, and of course, I mean, the difference between the SEC and the ACC is stronger at the bottom. The SEC is just playing stronger at the
bottom.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I like Eric Backich a lot.
Yep.
I think he's going to do a great job at Maryland, but they're not going to be good this year.
No.
And Wake Forest, I don't think, is going to be very good this year.
Heck, they lost their number one starter, Maryland did. They transferred
Swinson,
to Division II school. I already forgot that. But
Scott Swinson.
I wrote the Independence and the Small Colleges so long ago, I've already forgotten where he transferred.
That's right.
But he transferred the semester. So that's the big reason why. Even the bottom of the ACC is getting better, Maryland just by hiring Eric Backich.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech, Boston College, Duke.
And Wake hiring Tom Walter as well. That's a great
hire. I like that move as well.
But
those other programs we all mentioned, those programs have made progress, significant progress last year by BC.
Right.
Duke made very measurable progress last year, should have gotten a bid. Virginia Tech, two of the best arms in the ACC this year, are at Virginia Tech, and Matt Price and Jesse Hahn.
And they also have Austin Waits, another guy who's a potential, you know, top two rounds.
Absolutely.
Guy.
That's three top two rounds picks, potentially, at Virginia Tech. I mean, that's crazy.
That's why
Greg Levine, our resident hookie.
I'm telling you that the ACC is unquestionably deeper than it has been.
There's no doubt.
In my opinion, there are 10 teams in that league that I would not be surprised to see in regionals, and they're probably only going to get seven bids, maybe six. They don't ever get eight. They never have.
They might get eight this year.
Maybe. I mean, this might be the year because, you know,
NC State also with a great recruiting class this year. 11th ranked recruiting class on NC State this year. That's probably the best they've ever had. This is a.
I think
Elliott Avent and Tom Holliday are a great match there of a guy who really knows how to coach hitting, the head coach, and Tom Holliday, a great pitching coach. And they stumbled last year.
That was an aberration.
I think that was an aberration. They're a lot more. And one of the big X factors in the whole country, and we're more familiar with them here because of our location, is Russell Wilson, the fine quarterback on their football team the last couple of years, who's not going to be a DH this year. And this was a guy who got a six-figure, turned down six figures out of high school when he was drafted in baseball by the Indians. So he's a really intriguing X factor. They could really use an athletic bat.
Yeah, and I think NC State, I mean, if we're looking at the ACC, you've got six teams I think are locks for regionals, the ones that are in our top 25. So you really got, you know, four teams left fighting for one or two spots.
NC State,
Boston College, lost Tony Sanchez, still got a lot there.
Hey, Mike Belfiore, don't leave out Mike Belfiore.
That's a great point also.
Personal cheese ball,
I think BC takes a little bit of a step back, but they're still going to be very competitive.
They're very optimistic, though. They've got some offense. Mickey Wiswall,
yep.
If I'm getting his name
and,
right.
And you know, on the mound, they're in pretty good shape, too.
Who's the lefty? Who was their number two guy last year? Pat Dean.
Yeah.
That guy's good. No, he's good. No, they like their team. No doubt they like their team.
Duke
will be good again.
I mean, they should be competitive again. I mean, they lost some seniors that were key parts of their team last year, so I'm a little curious how they're going to replace those guys.
Behind the plate, I think, is their biggest loss. Williams is going to be
very
difficult to replace because he was a starter for 3 years. And then who was the big donkey on the mound? They started every Saturday. Walcott. He was really good.
Yeah.
He was just a very good college senior pitcher. Those guys are just hard to replace. But
And Nate Freiman, of course. I mean, you know, the big power back.
Another big
in the
donkey.
Lineup.
That's right. So,
I mean, I think they've got some losses.
They did lose a couple of horses. They lost a couple of donkeys as well.
So, and Virginia Tech we talked about. So, I mean, it's 10 teams for me. They're potentially regional caliber. But, of course, you know that the SEC is going to have 10 or 12 regional caliber teams every year.
Yeah, out of those four ACC teams, I'd say my picks to click are Virginia Tech and NC State. I like State's athleticism. I like Virginia Tech's pitching. And the SEC, like you said, I mean, I still think it's a little bit of a building process at Mississippi State, but John Cohen already, you can see the progress they're starting to make down there. I think John Pawlowski's doing the same kind of thing at Auburn, and he's got veteran talent this year. They're kind of like the Baylor / Oregon State, but only with hitters.
Right.
Fletcher and Hunter Morris and some of these guys.
Kevin Patterson has almost become a non-factor for them. They really need him to.
This was a very powder recruiting class. Let's see these guys figure it out and do it on the field and not be. Showcase kids, basically.
I like their team. I mean, I think that, you know, again, who knows what to make of them. That league is so difficult. It's so competitive. We got six teams in the top 25. Right outside the top 25, you got Vanderbilt, and you know, which I think is going to be really good.
This
might be my Omaha sleeper this year. I like their team.
How about that?
Kentucky, if they get Paxton, you're starting to look a little bit more dicey.
That's a huge X factor for that league. Hoochie Mama.
But, I mean, if you've got a rotation of Paxton, Alex Meyer, I mean, it's an incredible one-two punch.
Last year's recruiting class maturing for a year as sophomores should be huge.
And they added a really good class this year.
Honestly, the more that you're talking about, though, the more I'm thinking maybe this is a year where the SEC gets seven bids and the ACC gets eight.
I don't know,
because I also think Tennessee's a little down.
I disagree. I think Tennessee rebounds this year.
That would be more of a chemistry and playing together meaning more than talent, because they lost some significant talent. Although Morgado, Mr. Roboto.
Exactly. They still got Morgado. They've got a really good number two, and Stephen Groover, a guy who was very good in Northwoods League last year and in the SEC.
They love themselves some Cody Stubbs out there as well.
Cody Stubbs and Cody Hahn. They got some real power. Chris Duffy now is a transfer down from Vermont. It's a big addition for them.
Scrappy Northeasterner.
I mean, you know, they really like Drew Steckenrider. I'm going to reserve judgment on that one from some of the things I've heard, but he certainly has undeniable tools.
It's a great name as well.
It is. So, I mean, I think Tennessee actually is another sleeper, a team that I think has a real good shot to make a run at regionals this year.
Aaron, let's close the podcast talking about a couple of non-BCS schools. We haven't done that enough on this podcast.
You're right.
TCU, Coastal Carolina at 11 and 12, East Carolina at 18, Southern Miss at 21. Who do you like out of those teams? I mean, I think we disagreed a little bit on TCU versus Coastal. I'm going to let you wrap up the podcast, but TCU's kind of my Omaha sleeper, if you can call them a sleeper. I like them to break through that with their depth, but Coastal is your sleeper this year, and they're in the top 25 for the first time ever, and they're up there pretty high at 12. What makes you rank the Chanticleers that high?
Well, I mean, they're really balanced. I think this could be their best club there. The 1-2 punch at top of the rotation with Cody Wheeler and Anthony Mayo, you know, that's better than they've ever had there. It's again, they've got arms in the bullpen, some power arms back there. You know, some guys need to prove themselves, but I mean, Brad Goldberg potentially could be a shutdown closer. In the lineup, John, they're just so athletic and fast. They're going to play really good defense. I think they could lead the nation in stolen bases with Scott Woodward and Chance Gilmore and Rico Dowell, three guys who are all well above average runners. Another really good athlete in Daniel Bowman. I think Coastal is dangerous. I think that they're, especially with North Carolina taking a step down, I think you can throw Coastal and South Carolina and Clemson into a hat as kind of the best teams in that region, and maybe East Carolina as well. Certainly the Pirates have a lot back. They lost some key seniors last year, some Ryan Wood and, you know, those kind of guys, Steven Batts. Those guys are factors. But, they've got their three guys back on the mound with Seth Maness and Brad Mincy and Kevin Brandt. And we know they've got some thunder in the lineup. They're going to hit like always with Kyle Roller and Devin Harris. So East Carolina, to me, is another team that is certainly dangerous and maybe could break through that ceiling to Omaha this year.
I do love, Aaron, that we talked about having a shorter podcast today, and it's we're close to 40 minutes.
That's how we roll.
How about that? You get us started on college baseball, and it doesn't stop. The hits just keep on coming. But we do have to stop. Bo from Denton, we did not get to your question at the podcast inbox, and I apologize for that. We will get to that next week in our next college podcast, which I promise we'll get to it. But when it comes to buying a baseball bat, DeMarini just changed the game, introducing Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy, because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free, so get the season started right. Visit your nearest Demo House today. Locations and full details can be found at DeMarini.com/Demo House. And Aaron, we will be back, I'm not exactly sure when, probably next week.
Might be the week after.
It might be 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Well, another college podcast.
Next week's college preview deadline week, so we might.
Oh yeah, you're right. But February 18th is the start of Division I college baseball season. I think we're all pretty juiced about it.
I
think
it's
the 18th.
Maybe it is.
Pretty sure it's the 18th. We're gonna have a ton of games around here. I know you'll be in Greenville, at Virginia at East Carolina.
That's right.
We've got games in Cary, Chapel Hill, Durham, and Raleigh here locally. So I think I'm gonna be hitting a lot of those. I think I'm going to go to NC Central's opener, actually, at the new renovated historic Durham Athletic Park to open my college season. We look forward to bringing you, again, our unparalleled college baseball coverage. We're very lucky to be where we are and to give a darn like we do at Baseball America. We love college baseball, and if you're downloading this podcast, you probably do too, so we look forward to following it throughout the season with you. For Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. Thanks so much for the download. Until next week, so long, everybody.